But their differences within these two groups is more than linguistic. Right? It's not just a matter of speaking two different languages. They were also cultural. The Hellenists, to whom the Apostle Paul belonged, right, he was from Tarsus, a city in modern-day Turkey, not only spoke Greek, but they thought and they behaved like Greek people. While those who were the Hebraists not only spoke Aramaic, but they were deeply immersed in Hebrew culture. The Hellenists lived a more liberal lifestyle, while the Hebraists would have lived a more conservative one. And these differences must have caused many headaches for the apostles as they were trying to faithfully and teach and preach the word of God found in the Lord Jesus Christ, trying to unite these disparate peoples under one understanding of God in Christ. They needed to come up with a solution to this problem. Because when people are murmuring under their breath, it's easy for schism to take place. So, what do they do? Well, there's a lot for us to learn here from what they did. The apostles, right, the men who knew Jesus personally when he was on earth and had been chosen by him, they did not impose upon the people a plan of action to solve the issue at hand. Rather, they called the disciples together. Followers of Jesus, those who desired to sit at his feet and learn everything he had to share. He called all the disciples together in order to share the problem with them. Basically, they are taking something very dark, people being upset, people murmuring, people trying to cause rancor within the body, and they cast light on it. Darkness hates light. How many of you have been to the Mark Twain Cave? Yeah, I know a number of you even worked there when you were kids. I was one of the ones who got to work there as a kid. And there's a place in the Mark Twain Cave. It's called the Grand Ballroom. It's 250 feet below the surface of the earth. And in the Grand Ballroom, there comes a time when you tell the folks that they're 250 feet below the earth and that they're about to experience complete and total darkness. And it's then that you flick the switch and the lights go out. And it is so dark, a fun thing to do would be to tell the folks on the tour to put their thumb on their nose and wiggle their fingers. And while they're doing that, you flick the lights back on real quick. Right? And they're caught doing something silly. It's dark, and light pierces that darkness. I remember one time I was taking a bunch of motorcycle-type folks through the cave. You know, they had their leather on, and they were scary-looking people. I was 16 years old, and I was just trying to joke and have fun with them, and they just really weren't laughing at my jokes, which really bothered me, because I thought they were very funny jokes. And I got to the part in the cave in the Grand Ballroom where I turned off all the lights, and I said, "Your tour's now over. Have a nice day. I'll see you later." I'll bet you 15 cigarette lighters immediately came on, and one guy said, "Let's get him." It wasn't so funny that day, but looking back, that was a lot of fun. But light pierces darkness. Darkness hates light. And the apostles are shedding light on that darkness that is beginning to foment and grow within their community. So they call the folks together and they share the problem with them, right? It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word to wait on tables, they say. Well, that, to some of you who hear that this morning, that sounds a bit disparaging of people who may do that kind of work. But I would encourage you not to have that impression about the apostles. There is no hint here whatsoever that the apostles regarded social work ministry as inferior to pastoral teaching and preaching ministry, and that it was below their dignity. Both are vitally important. They're just a little bit different. The apostles simply felt that Jesus had specifically commissioned them to a ministry of teaching and preaching and prayer. Brothers and sisters, they said, choose 7 men from among you whom are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. And the early church saw the point to what the apostles were sharing with them. They liked the plan that was brought forward. It pleased the whole group that we read, and they picked 7 men from amongst them who they believed were holy and had been blessed by the Spirit, and they presented these men to the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. How many of you are deacons, have been ordained as a deacon? I know a number of you have been. This is the first class of ordained deacons in the church. The Greek word is diakonai, means to serve, right? To be a servant. The ministry of deacons to this very day is focused on service and care and compassion. So what happened when the apostles shed light on the darkness of the murmuring of the people? What was the result of them bringing this to the body, of the body themselves, choosing 7 and them being commissioned and with hands laid on them? What's in verse 7 this morning? So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests. I remember, those were the people who had been persecuting the church. A large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Wow. It's worth sharing this morning that the Greek words for spread and increased are in the imperfect sense or case, which means that both the spread of the word and the growth of the church were continuous. The explosive growth of the early church was not rooted in them being culturally relevant or cool to those around them. God grew the church as the church became rooted in God's word. God prepared his people to receive the new believers by rooting them and their identity in his word. And what does the word reveal? At its most basic core, the word of God reveals Christ to us, the God-man, the Son of God who came to take away the sins of the world, to reconcile creation to her creator. And this begs many questions of us this morning as we relate what the apostles were living in, the times they were living in within our own cultural context in the 21st century in the Western world. How do people come to understand mercy in a world that's merciless? Through God's word. How do people learn to extend love in a world full of anger and malice? What's found in God's word? How do people realize that the brokenness of the world lies fully within themselves? That is, that they are not perfect and are, in fact, sinners. What's found in God's word? How do people learn to live radical, countercultural lives full of forgiveness and peace and grace and reconciliation towards one another? It's found in God's word. God's word points to and reveals to us his living word, the Lord Jesus. And it is only in God's word that we learn that God has gone to great lengths at great personal cost to rescue lost and broken people. This is God's story of salvation for his creation. And God loves his creation. Now I'm going to shamelessly plug the story in closing this morning. This is what the story is all about. the story of the Bible, God's great love affair with his people. Condensed into 31 chapters, the story sweeps us into the unfolding progression of salvation, the saga of salvation from the opening pages of the Bible in Genesis to its closing pages in the book of Revelation. It points us to Christ Jesus, and it sends us out into the world to be the ambassadors of Christ, to reflect his love and his mercy and his peace, his light and his grace. I've talked with many of you, and what I hear is you desire for our local church to grow. Many of us remember days when every single Sunday morning it was full. And Pastor Mark, we just need to get out in the community and love people. That's true. We need to get out into the community to love people. But you cannot put the cart before the horse. We must all relearn what it means to love Jesus. We must all relearn what it means to be a disciple of the Lord. We must all relearn what it means to be chosen by God and to be given the incredible gift of grace. We cannot help to fully love our community if we have not fully committed ourselves to the love that God has for us and that he desires for us to have of him. We find this love revealed to us in Scripture as it points us to Christ, as it reveals Christ to us, as we study God's word in fellowship and community together. We will be propelled out into the world, and there will be absolutely transformational results that take place. I'm reminded of the prologue to the Gospel of John, the first opening verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all humanity. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not. And that's aorist tense, which means, and the darkness could not. The darkness has not, the darkness will not overcome it. Soli Deo Gloria, to God alone be all the glory. Amen.